If you would turn to Mark, the 9th chapter, starting in verse 42, and as you're finding your way there, we are on the highway to hell, part 2. Last Sunday, I stated my concern for the lost souls that are out there and tried to get people to begin to start changing the way you think about your life and the lives of people out there. This is not meant to be, let's bash each other about the sin issue. The sin issue should not be any issue for us. It is a reminder of where God has brought us from and our responsibility before Almighty God to go and snatch some of them out of the fire before it's too late. Amen? And so what one of those highways, the fastest lane, the carpooling lane, so to speak, would be suicide. And we talked about suicide. We talked about recognizing the symptoms of it, recognizing the stats that are involved in it, and understanding the severity that the spirit of murder has in this generation. And it is fairly prevalent in this generation that the spirit of suicide is gaining its foothold in the world. You are the answer to people who are left without any hope. You are. If you are born again of the Spirit of God, you have contained within you the hope that they are in desperate need of hearing. Yesterday I had a real neat opportunity to speak with one of the baker's sons, brothers, and we were being asked to leave. I had been witnessing to him and did not realize for about 45 minutes. And it seemed to go just that fast. And the Bible talks about us pulling down every argument and vain imagination and bringing that into captivity to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's what I was doing. I was pulling down every argument that they had to justify their position with the Word of God. And if I can do it, you can do it too. It just requires a little bit of discipline and purposing in your heart to say the right words and just opening up your heart to the Holy Spirit to lead you to do this. Amen? Amen. Today we're going to talk about another lane. This lane is called the unwillingness to deal with sin. I cannot emphasize the importance to you from the Lord that He has saw how important it was to deal with sin in His way to set us free, that calling on the name of Jesus and living like we have never called on His name is no longer an option for us. It requires a drastic change in your behavior and my behavior. And as Gary says, which is so true, your behavior is hindering the furtherance of the kingdom of God in reaching the lost. Let's see what the Lord says about this. Starting in verse 42 to verse 48, Jesus is telling us about sin. And if anyone causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, where the fire never goes out. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. I want to emphasize 2 points here. The first one in verse 42 is very, very important. And that has to deal with the responsibility of those who are older in the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're 5 days older than a 4-day-old or a 3-day-old. You're older than those who are following you. The responsibility is on each and every one of us to get our act together. Amen? Because there are people who are watching us and following our example, whether you are aware of it or not. And the heathen are watching us too. You see, on this highway to hell, they're looking for a way. They don't understand that they're looking for this way, but they are looking for a way to get off of this treadmill. They don't like who they are, they don't like where they are, and they don't like what they are becoming. And so, it behooves us to understand that because we know the truth and the truth lies within us, it is required of us, according to the Lord, not according to me, the severity of understanding your unwillingness and my unwillingness to deal with our sin. And you may say, well, Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sin. He paid for the punishment of our sin. His resurrection enables us to have the victory over sin, but it is our responsibility to deal with it. Amen? And maybe you've had this infantile mindset that, you know what, I'm forgiven and I can still live my life the way it is. Well, understand that you've heard it from the Lord that it doesn't matter how long you've been in the Lord. If you cause somebody to sin, it's better for you to tie this millstone around your neck and throw it overboard and drown. The picture here is understanding the severity of my responsibility as an elder in the church to conduct myself in a way that glorifies the Lord. And so do you. If I cause anyone to fall into sin and fall away from the faith, it would be better for me to jump overboard in the deepest ocean and drown. And Jesus is trying to get us to understand that the responsibility for the believer is very, very acute and dramatic. A millstone. There was two types of millstones in the old days, and they were both used for similar things, but primarily it was for using a grinding down grain into flour or powder. And there was one millstone that was small, and I'm sure you guys have seen the old movies where you see the women or the men rolling this stone back and forth. They would take meal and they would grind it. Okay? Basically that was used for breaking the husk off the seed, and then they would flesh it or thresh it, and the wind would blow the husk off, and the rest would be seed. Then what they would do is they would take that which was left over, and they would put it on a great big old wheel. And there would be this giant wheel that an oxen or a horse or a donkey would just move around. Or if anybody has seen Conan the Barbarian, he's pushing this thing around. Okay? Jesus is talking about that millstone, that big old stone that was being pushed around to grind this stuff up. It was big, it was heavy. And he was saying, it's better for you to tie this stone around and throw it in the ocean and you drown than for you to continue in your way causing somebody else to sin and fall away from the Lord. That's how drastic Jesus wants us to see about our behavior. Okay? It is drastic. Or as we would say today, it's radical. It's not churchianity, it's Christianity. Churchianity smooths it over, but Jesus doesn't smooth it over. He doesn't leave us with an excuse here that this is okay. He's telling us, you know what? I'm going to hold you responsible. I'm going to hold you responsible for every relationship that you're involved in. And if you're causing somebody to sin, it's better for you to croak than to continue on this preposterous behavior. That's how much He values us and how much you and I are accountable for our behavior. Okay? This is not meant to be a put down. This is meant to get your attention of the severity of sin in our lives. He talks about the little ones. The little ones that Jesus is talking about is like newborn babes. And we know with little infants that they are trusting and they are innocent. And they expect those who are more mature to be forthright and honest, right? They don't expect that somebody older would lead them into a way of getting hurt or causing them to falter in a way that would cause them to be punished. And Jesus is saying the same thing about this. He's saying, you know, these little ones should be cared for and nurtured and allow their innocence to grow, because if me being an elder mistreat you, I am misrepresenting the Father who is far better than I am. And if I cause that one to sin and fall away from God, what reward do I have? I have none. My reward is essentially I better die. It is a dramatic way of thinking about your life and your existence. And then Jesus proceeds and says, you know what? If your hand, look at your hand. Can you imagine going through life without a hand? Can you? I couldn't play the piano. I can't anyhow, but... Or a foot. Can you imagine walking around? In those days, they didn't have prostheses, you know? So if your foot caused you to sin and you cut that off, can you imagine? Or your eye. Jesus is saying that sin is so bad that who in their right mind would consider staying in sin? It would be constituted as cancer in your body and doing nothing about it. Ah, it's okay. I got lung cancer. It's fine. It's no problem. And you croak. Wouldn't it serve to you to understand that, you know what, if I'm diagnosed with cancer, I want to get it out of me? It's my responsibility to deal with that cancer. And this is what Jesus is trying to get his hearers to understand. That if sin is that severe, and it is, sin is that severe because it destroys our spiritual lives. It destroys my relationship with my Father. It will destroy my relationship to my brothers and sisters. And it will destroy the opportunity for me to help those who are on the highway of hell when they're at a rest stop that I can go and share something with them. That's how bad it is. And that's how bad you should consider your sin issue. Would you want to have some infection in you that eventually kills you? Well, sin's not killing me. And this was the deception of Adam. Did not God tell him that in that moment that you sin, you would die? But he lived, right? He was alive. He didn't die for another 900 years. The truth of the matter is, he died spiritually. And because of that sin issue, God had to bring a plan to pass in order to heal us, to bring us back into the understanding that my spirit is now alive into God. And I need to do everything I possibly can to keep it in that. Remember talking about righteousness. We must maintain that position of righteousness. When that temptation comes into my life, I have a choice. And Jesus has given me the power to choose free will. I can choose to go into that sin and drag a whole bunch of other people in there, understanding that now you're responsible for your behavior of dragging all those people in there too, because your sin is going to permeate everybody else's life. Whether you realize it or not, a little bit of sin is going to have sin in the whole lump. And Jesus is saying, you must take care of this. I have empowered you. I have given you the understanding of how severe this is. you are responsible to deal with it. How do we deal with it? I'm waiting for the question.
How do you do it?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that question. We know that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to perish. And so what we must do is when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin issue, we must repent. We must take ownership of that sin. But that's not the end of it. We need to go to that person that we've sinned against. And we need to repent. We need to confess our faults one to another, so that we may be healed and they may be healed. And then we must get it under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, it's that simple, but it's your pride and my pride that keeps us from doing the simple things. Now, Jesus said that it was far better for a person to tie this millstone around their neck and die, because your sin is going to cause you to go to hell. Do you believe that? You should. You should believe it. And if you don't deal with your sin, are you not too on the highway to hell? Again, this must, it's not once saved, always saved. It's understanding the truth of what the gospel is telling us. What Jesus Christ is trying to get us to understand, that, you know what? He's cleaned up the mess, but we are responsible for maintaining our position in Him. And every time we mess up, He has given us an avenue to maintain this position. Repenting, get it under the blood. Now this valley of hell, the word translated in the Greek, it's called Gehenna, and it means valley of Hinnom. And this is the valley where Ahab, and we know Ahab was a great king, right? No, he was one of the most wicked kings, and he was married to the most wickedest queen, and her name was Jezebel. And one of the things that she did with Ahab was she led him into the worship of the fire god called Moloch. And in the fire god, what he did was he took his children and he threw them into the fire alive. Child sacrifice. Of which today, if you trace it through, child sacrifice is where abortion is today. And we now have a president who believes in infanticide. God help us. God help us as the Church of Jesus Christ to stand up for righteousness. Jezebel and Ahab threw their own children alive into these fires. God turned it around, and a few years later, Josiah turned that valley around and no longer allowed the worship of Moloch to take about. But it was still Gehenna, because that's where they burned the rubbish that was contained within the city of Jerusalem. They brought it out of the eastern gate and they threw it into this area. And this fire burned continuously, night and day. And so Jesus was depicting and trying to put a picture in people's minds that this fire is never going to go out. Hell is so severe because there's so much garbage that's being burned up that you will be part of that burning up. And you will not like your position in hell. Pretty severe, right? Pretty severe, but that's not the end, as we know. And you can look at 2 Chronicles 28, 1 through 4, Jeremiah 7, 31, and Jeremiah 32, 35 in reference to Ahab and the child sacrifices. Looking at your hands, you might say, well, you know what, I don't cause anybody to sin. When was the last time you smacked somebody in anger? That's called abuse. When was the last time you threatened somebody of their life, having a weapon in your hand? That's sin. When was the last time you used your hands for sexual gratification? That's sin. And Jesus says it's so severe in doing this that you must cut your hand off in order for you to enter into the kingdom. You may say, well, okay, I can get that, but what's that got to do with my feet? When was the last time you ran around and hear a good piece of gossip? And then you ran and spread that gossip. When was the last time that you went out with your homies and you were out there drinking and partying and getting all drunked up and drugged up? Your feet are causing you to sin. And it's far better for you to cut your foot off than to sin. Or your eye. You may say, well, what's my eye got? The eye is the window to the soul. The ears are the speakers to your soul. Everything is receptive that affects our soul. And your eye can cause you to sin. When was the last time you lusted after a man or a woman? Oh, you just don't understand, Pastor. They're hot. No, you're lusting. I've watched these young girls advertising in the way they dress. There is no modesty today with young girls. And you may say, well, that's old-fashioned. Why is rape up 200%? Why is teen pregnancy up 86%? Why is teenage pregnancy and abortion up? Could it be the way people are dressing? Pornography. When was the last time you saw something that was pornographic? Read something pornographic? Saw something that you weren't supposed to be looking at? Oh, well, you know, I don't see anything wrong with Maxim. That is soft porn, whether you understand it or not. Well, you know, I read these fantasy books. And fantasy is an imagination. It's not reality. And it trips you up into believing something, which opens the door for you to sin somewhere down the road. You're old-fashioned, Pastor. No, I'm trying to save your soul. I'm trying to get you to understand. There's people out there that don't realize what's going on, and I'm telling you the truth. You've got to protect yourself. Sin is so deceptive that if you don't think you're doing something wrong, answer this question. Would you do it with the Lord standing next to you? Would you? This is how severe it is. That we're playing with sticks of dynamite and Satan's over there with a match. Say, come on over here, I'll help you blow yourself up. Sin is like a terrorist waiting to go off. You don't know when it's going to, but it will go off. And it will blow your life up and blow the lives up of people around you. And Jesus is trying to get us to understand, if you don't deal with your sin, you're on the highway to hell. You're on the road to destruction. And I can't put it any more simpler than that. Notice that I'm not saying that Jesus is telling us to literally cut our hands off, you know, all of us be walking around as amputees and blind people. He's not saying that, but he's trying to get us to understand the severity of what it means to live in this world. And how easy it is for us to just, oh, that's not bad. A little sin will leaven a whole lump. And those of you who know how to bake, understand, you don't need a whole lot of yeast. All you need to do is work it in, and it takes over by itself. And it causes the dough to rise, right? A little bit of sin is going to get you puffed up. Thinking that you're something that you're not. Thinking that you're safe when you're not. And I want you to hear the truth. And I'm not telling you. The Lord's telling you the severity of what's going on. Sin is not something you want to play around with. Understand, sin is pleasurable for a season. It will cost you more than you want to pay. It will take you where you don't want to go. And it will leave you off at a place you don't want to be. The end is hell. And because you don't want to deal with it, doesn't abscond you from the responsibility before the Lord that it's going to bring your destruction. That's how severe it is. You are children of the Most High God. And it pains God to see His children monkeying around with stuff that they have no business monkeying around with. And what He wants to give to us is so much more valuable that we would rather say, no, God, you know, I don't want a good meal. I want this junk over here. It pains our Father to see His children maintaining this position. So what are we supposed to do? This is drastic. The Word of God says that as believers, if we commit any sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? Is that what the Word says? You're absolutely wrong. That's not what the Word says. See, there's a little preface in there. It says, if we sin, He is faithful and true to forgive us if we confess our sin. That's what 1 John says. The responsibility is realizing you're in sin and you need to confess it. Romans tells me, if you believe in the heart and you confess with the mouth, if you don't believe that you're doing something wrong, you're not going to confess it. But when the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of your heart and you feel that check like, ooh, man, I shouldn't be doing this. Guess what? You've been found out. And you need to make confession. And you need to make right the situation. Because your sin is going to carry somebody else to hell and God's going to hold you personally responsible. He's holding me responsible to share this word with you, to help you. To understand that the pain that's caught with cutting off a limb is only temporary. But if it's enough to save your soul, then it's done its work. The pain of cutting off the sin in your life, cutting off those things that would cause you to sin, cutting off relationships, people who would lead you into sin for their own reasons and own gratification, is painful for a moment. But you will save your soul because you know what? Those people are on the highway to hell. They need to see the Church of Jesus Christ standing up for righteousness and saying, you're wrong. This is not what my God requires of me. Pain. We don't want to change because it requires us to become disciplined. But the removal of bad things, people, bad habits, attitudes is only painful for a little bit. And as you grow in the admonition of God, your life changes. Those who are traveling on the highway to hell know no other way. They're in darkness. The prince of this world has kept their minds in darkness. You are not of that world any longer. And you must understand, you must have people in your life that you love tremendously. Would you want to see them go to hell? But your very actions is either condoning the behavior of them or your stance for righteousness will bring condemnation to them or conviction by the Holy Spirit, and they will either change or not associate with you. You see, our job is to stand for righteousness. I've lost a lot of friends in and out of the church because of my stand. And you know what? I'm saddened by that. But the fact of the matter is, I'm in a better position. I know that those people really didn't add something to me in the long run. But I have so much that God has given to me that I want them to have too, that doesn't stop me from time to time in crossing paths with them to share what's going on in my life. Offering them an opportunity to hear the gospel. I'm not preaching at them yet. I'm just sharing my life and what God has done. And that's called a testimony. And we, those of us that have gone through Contagious Christian, know we have 5 to 8 minutes in a general conversation with people to bring that conversation around to tell them what God is doing in our lives. To plant the seed. That doesn't mean that we're perfect. Far be it, but we are forgiven. And in that forgiveness, we're not going to trivialize our behavior any longer. What it means is we need to learn what it means to be a kingdom person and how to act regally in a way that it creates a thirst with people. Like, you know what? There's something different about you. I can't put my finger on it. You know, what's going on? And then you can say, I'm glad you asked. This is what's been going on. My life was in the sewer. You know what? And I know you've heard all the stuff about church and stuff, but you know what? I committed my life to Christ. And He has changed me in this. What we're doing is we're not telling them what they need to do. We're pointing them in the direction for the Holy Spirit. You see, for too long, we're telling people what they need to do. What we need to do is what God has told us to do. And that is share the good news of the kingdom. Let the rest be to the Holy Spirit. Last night I had an opportunity to share with an individual, actually two people, pulling down their arguments. And not once did I tell them about Jesus. I told them about the kingdom. I told them about God's love for them. And I told them that they still had the right to make a decision. I didn't tell them how wicked they are. I didn't tell them that they were going to burn in hell. I told them that their Father in heaven loves them so much that He wants them to be part of their kingdom. And that's all we need to do. We're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way, but our lives must reflect what we believe. If we don't, then we're on the highway of hell too. And we have deceived ourselves in believing that we're okay. My hope is that when the Holy Spirit brings conviction to you about an area, repent, get it under the blood, get it right, because you don't want it to be a part of your life any longer. Then ask God, what is it that He wants to put in there in replace of that? And it's more of Him. Amen? Father, I just thank You for Your word, Lord God. I thank You, God, for what You're doing in our lives. I thank You, God, that You exhort us not to mess around, but to be radically different than the world. I know it's hard, God, you know. I didn't get where I'm at today by thinking it was easy. It is hard. It's hard to change your position. It's hard to change because you're afraid of losing friends. It's hard to live for someone that you can't see. But God, You tell us that You manifest Yourself to those who seek You with a whole heart. That You bless us richly, God. That Your mercies are renewed each and every day, God. And that in that time, Father, You invigorate us with Your grace, because You tell us that is more than sufficient for us. God, I ask that You forgive us in those areas that we have not dealt with sin. I ask, God, Holy Spirit, I give You permission to work in my life. I can't speak for anybody else, but I give You permission to continue to work in my life to change me more into the likeness of Christ. Convict me of those areas, God, that I may repent and get it under the blood so that I am not traveling on the highway to hell. I pray for Your people, God, that they recognize Your voice and see that it is humbling to admit a mistake, but it's far better to admit it and get it right than to continue on in a preponderance that it doesn't even happen. God, I pray for those in the world that they would begin to see us in a different light, God, and that you would continue to give us opportunity to share the good news, that your house would be growing, that your people would be growing, and that your kingdom, Father, would come on earth as it is in heaven. I thank you for your people and their attentiveness today, God. Bless them richly as they go forth. In Jesus' name, amen.